Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is the last of our series of broadcasts about the art exhibit at the Festival of Contemporary Arts. And today we thought it might be interesting if we took it up from the artist's point of view, although artists have many points of view and are going to tell you a great many more things, I'm sure, than an expose of technique. The people who have been good enough to give you a little information as to their reactions to the show this afternoon are Professor Nicholas Britsky, a graduate of the Yale University School of Fine Arts. I think most of you know Nick. He's been here since 1939 and has added a very definite note to our department. Now, also with us is the College of Education, who is an artist and is teaching at the University High School. And third, we have a real pleasure, and I'm sure you will agree with me, those of you who have already heard him, in having Mr. Lamar Dodd, the head of the Department of Art at the University of Georgia, an artist who has had, I'm told, well over 60 one-man exhibitions. These three artists are going to at least help elucidate some of the questions which I expect to put to them. I thought first it might be interesting if we discussed a little bit about how the pictures in the exhibition were selected. I think some time ago Mr. Weller indicated generally some of the basis for selection, but I was wondering, Nick, would you give us a little more information about that, just to sort of summarize it?
Yes, Ed. I think we start selecting our pictures for the show as far back as June preceding the exhibition. You know, when the faculty goes out on its summer vacation, I think each man, and we have 33 of them, is keeping an eye out for good painting. And you know, they travel throughout the country. Some go to the East Coast, some to the West Coast. This last summer, Mr. Dedeman and Mr. Donovan surveyed the West Coast, and I'm sure they pinned down quite a few of those paintings we have now.
Well, now, you see, you kept an eye open for good painting. I'm rather interested in that. What is good painting, anyhow? Just what do you mean when you go into a dealer's gallery and see good painting? What are you looking for? Pretty colors or what?
That's a large order.
Well, I mean, are there any general standards in the selection of them that you could summarize or perhaps suggest to give us a little idea as to... Yes, Nick?
I think the first thing, if I were to go out on a limb, I'd say that the first thing I'd look for in a painting would be what the French call the je ne sais quoi, the I don't know what quality. I think that's the initial impact of the picture, the first impression. And then after that, I would say I would want a content of some type, the man's statement as to how he feels about life in his picture.
How about Mr. Dodd? Do you?
Absolutely. And Dr. Ray, that recalls to mind this very splendid catalog which you people have gotten up in connection with this show, and I understand that you're responsible for collecting these statements from the various artists. I think that anyone who reads that catalog will come to understand some of the expressions that these people have made on canvas, possibly a little more clearly than just looking at them and passing by those paintings without careful consideration. Before we get farther along with that, Ed, let me mention this. I think that this is really one of the most significant moves from the standpoint of the professional artist as well as those people who are interested in art education. I think that you people at the University of Illinois have set an unparalleled pattern for the rest of us throughout the country. And I hope that every person here in this state and in the surrounding areas may have an opportunity to witness and see some of the work that you people are doing in connection with this Fine Arts Festival, and especially in this wonderful exhibition of American painting that you're bringing to this section of the country. You make all of us jealous.
Well, how about that? Now, you mentioned education, Mr. Dodd. Brad, what do you think? Do you think this is really fitting into the... I saw you over there the other day, as a matter of fact, with a bunch of children. Are they getting much out of the show, do you think?
Well, I think they're getting a great deal out of the show. I think that on the public school level, the college level, and the layman's level, that people are getting a chance to have direct contact with contemporary painting, and they're having a chance to compare the various trends. I like that side of the show, the fact that the show is selected from the viewpoint of many of the trends which are being used by artists today in their painting. And even though the public may find some of the works confusing, I think it's a healthy experience that they're going through.
I know there are quite a few artists, though, someone brought to my attention the other day, that just aren't represented at all. Now, for instance, there's Birchfield and the painters of the American scene. By Mr. Dodd, why do you think those
aren't included? I have heard that mentioned, Ed, several times, and I think that there's a splendid reference to that in the introduction of your catalog that Alan Waller, the head of your department, wrote. Some of our readers may have read the editorial that Peyton Boswell wrote about your exhibition. Having had a similar experience to members of your faculty who made this selection, I can appreciate the problems that were involved. For example, here's the situation you will run into. America has some very fine conservative painters, some painters who have made a record for themselves in past years, and painters who are doing excellent work today. Many of these painters are not producing as much as some of our modern painters for various reasons. Suppose you put yourself in this position. As a jury, you go to a gallery in the East and you look for examples of paintings from such painters. You find that many of these paintings are out on loan. Many of them are sold in collections. They cannot be borrowed from those collections. In other words, you are faced with the problem of taking third or fourth rate examples from some of the conservative painters. And I don't blame a juryman for turning down those in preference to something else. So someone might say, well, after all, aren't the modern painters turning out third and fourth rate pieces? Yes, they are. But at the moment, there seems to be the element of production enters into it. I know from experience that we've had a hard time getting that type of painting, the best of that type of painting for our audience.
Do you have some comment on that, Nick?
Lamar, I personally feel that the younger painters are not trying to paint in the conservative manner anymore. Do you have any comment on that? Why is it?
Well, I think that if we stop for just a moment, Nick, and look back and see what has happened in this country in the past 25 or 30 years, it presents a pretty clear picture from the standpoint of the younger painter. Look at what is happening right here at your university right now, and the influence that an exhibition of this type is having upon the students of your university in this state. We have the same situation at Georgia. These young painters are, I think, they are more vital than some of our painters of the past generation, of my own generation. Their ideas are more significant. They have more material upon which to build. Well, Brad, we'll get off into progressive education in a moment. But we can't overlook that fact. I mean, we've come to appreciate the expressions of the individual, and if you stop for just a moment and glance back into the history of art of the past, what one factor has made the work of the artist of the past really significant? What quality did Giotto have that numerous contemporaries of his time did not have? What quality did El Greco have? What did Van Gogh have? Well, these painters, I believe, are conscious of that. It's the power of expressing oneself, individual coming into the picture, the power of creativity. They're conscious of those facts. It's been influenced by other phases of education and industry, science, and so forth.
What do you think about that, Brad? You've had to explain these pictures to some of your youngsters.
Well, I think that the conservative painters that are represented in the show are good examples of the conservative work. However, we certainly have been very aware of the limited number of conservative works in comparison to the more abstract or non-objective works. I'd like to throw a question back to Mr. Dodd about this. He mentioned that the conservative painters do not seem to be producing as much work as the the abstract and the non-objective painters. Is that because they are requiring more time to paint, or because there are fewer of them? I certainly wouldn't want, as a painter, the idea to go out over the air that the non-objective was a quicker method, necessarily. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Dodd?
Well, Brad, I don't know. I had a letter recently from one of America's top-notch conservative painters. He's now in Italy. What influence this experience over there will have on his work this year, I don't know, but I'm anxious to see. But we were writing about some of our American painters, and he referred to one whose work is now in your show, and he said, this man has gone abstract, but sooner or later I'm sure that he'll get back on the right road. I believe that, well, that painter happens to be, by the way, the Helico, one of the really distinguished pieces, I think, in your show. I'm sure that when this painter comes back to America, after he's had time to study and think about some of these things, I wouldn't be surprised if his things will not become a little more abstract. And you know I don't like that word abstract either. Because actually what we refer to are structural elements that we seem to have forgotten in art, and we are trying to recapture some of those. The structure of abstraction today is not unlike at all the structure of Giotto or El Greco. And when you stop for a moment and think of it, I believe that we can see that close relationship. Let me mention this just a moment. Let us take one of our average conservative paintings, and I consider myself as a conservative painter. Look at one of those, and then look at one of your vital creative abstractions, and see which one challenges you more. I'm not saying that it's an end within itself by any means, but it's an interesting comparison.
Isn't that rather abstract? Isn't that really primarily the artist's point of view? Of course, granted, this is a show at an art school, but all these things seem to me rather highly technical. What do you think, Mr. Britsky? Do you agree that that is being excessively art for art's sake, or do you agree with Mr. Dodd that these things are fundamental, and I suppose I will gradually catch on to them?
Well, I probably at present it may look like it's art for art's sake, but I agree with Lamar. I think the structural elements that the contemporary artist is becoming more and more conscious of now in this abstract way of painting is going to definitely strengthen the quality of contemporary art. I think some of those things were lacking, for instance, in the pre-Raphaelite period, where they were so adept at copying nature that they didn't give a hang about anything else. And now we're getting back to some of the more, artistic qualities in a picture. The texture, the line, the color, the tone.
But isn't this a transitory phase, too? Is this a transition then back to a more representational type after we've learned our basic lessons, so to speak?
No doubt it may be. No doubt. And I think this, as we look at some of these creations, and let me say this. I came in here about a week ago, arrived in Havana. I went in and saw this exhibition. And the following day, I went back to see it again. I had seen it every day during the past week. And each time I see it, I see things in these canvases that I have not seen before. It takes time, I think, to study these and understand them. I believe this. I believe that some of these objects that we see today are a means to an end, and I do not believe that they are an end within themselves. And I think that the contributions that are being made by artists are just about as significant as the contributions that are being made by the scientist as he is searching for something that is final. Let us look at these examples in that light. Maybe they are an end within themselves, from the standpoint of the layman as well as the artist. But if they have served a purpose of finding a structure that is basic, then I think they will have fulfilled their need.
Do you think that kind of thing should be included in a public exhibition?
By all means. By all means. I certainly do.
How about it, Mr. Bradshaw? You are an artist yourself. Do you feel that these paintings really do, even however experimental, get back to these basic considerations Mr. Dodd's been mentioning?
Well, I certainly feel that the ones in the show do. I think that our jury of selection was very careful in their choice of paintings to see that the paintings did meet certain standards, and that structure and the various elements which Nick mentioned a few minutes ago were considered by that jury.
It's also true, isn't it, this year, that the selection of final pictures for purchase, final selection for purchase, will be made by the faculty. Last year, I remember, we had a jury here from, Los Angeles, one person came from. Now, I wonder if that, what the reason might be for that. Is that a common practice? Do you know, Mr. Dodd, whether the faculty of a school will select, or do they usually have outside jurors?